Ready and raring on the phone to have a chat with us is Paul from Franz Ferdinand. How's things?
I'm good. Pretty good. Can't complain.
Can't complain for a man with a record out this week. Are you feeling revved up and reborn, Paul?
Yeah. I'm sort of riding a wave of good cheer at the moment.
Your record company has actually called this album Nothing Short of a Rebirth. Does it feel like that for the members of Franz Ferdinand?
Yes, that's quite sort of hyperbolic, but along those lines, sure. It feels like a new band.
I guess you get reborn about every 4 years or so, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. Somebody sticks a rocket under us and off we go.
It's been 4.5 years since the last Franz Ferdinand album, Right Thoughts, but in the interim, you released the FFS album with Sparks. So you've kept yourselves pretty busy, and doing a totally different project like that between Franz Ferdinand albums inform anything when you turn back to make this record, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really stop. We've never really stopped. Although, you know, it would appear that way to people that don't follow us, because we kind of go quiet on social media when we're recording records and kind of isolate ourselves a little bit. You know, our studio is in the countryside as well, in Scotland. So,
there's no mobile phone reception in the studio.
Well, not in my network. I mean, we've constantly got our faces in our phones. We've been together for, certainly myself and Bob and Alex have been playing together for like 16 years now. So we spend a lot of time with our faces in our phones. But I mean, with the FFS record, we recorded it fairly quickly because of the nature of the project. You know, Ron and Russell from Sparks live in LA, and the label could only afford to bring them over for a couple of weeks. The whole album was written remotely and then recorded in 2 weeks. So we did it very quickly, and that's kind of how we wanted to do this record as well. And it's just write it and then rehearse, and then go in and record it in 2 weeks. And one thing that came out of it was there being more people on stage. So quite like playing with like more than four people. So now there's like five people in the group. And,
that's right.
Expanded the lineup slightly.
That actually prepared you guys for shifting Franz Ferdinand members for this record, huh?
I guess so, yeah. We already knew Nick was going before we started touring the FFS record. He'd already told us then, so, you know, we were prepared for that. He just wanted to go out on a high kind of thing.
Yeah, well, your guitarist, Nick, as you say, left the band between albums, and as someone who co-wrote nearly every song on previous records, did it leave a gap, or were you guys kind of okay and knew how to handle things, Paul?
I guess it just sort of brought me and Alex and Bob kind of closer. And, you know, in the past, when it comes to songwriting, initially it would begin with Alex and Nick. They would write like the bare bones of the song, and then they would take it to the rehearsal room or the studio, and then we'd work out the arrangement. With this, the three of us started off with the songs, and we started writing the songs together and actually talking about, you know, what kind of songs we want to write, you know, what we want to say, because ultimately we want the songs to actually mean something.
And did that also inform who you then brought into the band to replace Nick? Did you kind of see where the songs are going to take you and then thought, oh, okay, we need a keyboardist? You got Julian Corrie in, who's from Glasgow, who'd been in Meow Meow and Chemical Underground. So did you kind of then think, right, here's the people we need to create this new Franz Ferdinand record?
We knew that we were going to get, like, we needed to get another member, and we sort of toyed with the idea of it just being the three of us and having maybe touring musicians. But our friend Stuart, who plays in Mogwai, and a singer from Glasgow called Elizabeth Electra, and Paul Savage and Emma from Chemical Underground, they're like all like separately suggested Julian. They suggested that we get together with Julian and try something out. And so we did. We met him. We went for a curry. The next day we went down to the studio. We played him some of the new material we'd been working on. He liked it. And he's a very good musician. And he's like an audio engineer as well. That was what he was working as, an audio engineer for the EDC at the time. And we were trying to kind of do everything ourselves in the studio. So that was a help.
I love the fact that the first stages of joining Franz Ferdinand involves having a curry, but it also sounds like Julian had quite a few more tools of the trade as well, which is what you needed.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew the direction that we wanted to take the music, and that's kind of like his background, predominantly electronic music. And he's an actual musician as well. And playing with him as well, it makes us play better, because I'm sure each of us thought we need to kind of step it up a little bit, because this guy's actually quite good.
The other aspect of the Always Ascending album, of course, is then All Roads Led to Paris, because you worked with Philippe Zadar from Cassius. So Was he someone that you guys in Franz Ferdinand had wanted to work with for a while? Or, again, did these songs suddenly suggest that you needed a man with a French touch, Paul?
Yeah, well, we didn't really know who. We wanted a producer. We liked working with producers. But we didn't really have any idea who. And then we suddenly thought of Philippe because we'd actually tried to hook up with Philippe. But then he was busy at the time. He was doing a Beastie Boys album, and that was kind of like his childhood dream, was to work with the Beastie Boys. So he kind of went off and did that. And we tried to sort of hunt him down through management and through the label. And they tried to get in touch with the head manager, and he was kind of off-grid at that point. And then Alex remembered that he actually stole his phone number, so he just texted him and asked him to want to make a record.
I'm glad that Alex was somewhere with mobile phone reception when that time came.
Yeah. I mean, there is mobile phone reception. So we're not in the dark ages here, you know.
And so, Paul, when you went into work with him, was the word disco ever brought up? I mean, did you feel that you were making any more of a dance floor kind of friendly record than a Franz Ferdinand album would be?
We always kind of try and make music that you can dance to. We try to write songs. The kind of starting point for any music is just like how it makes you feel. And I think in order to make somebody sort of physically move, it's just so immediate, and that's kind of what we like to do, I suppose.
I'd like to think that Philippe Zadar encouraged the saxophone solo and extended outro on Feel the Love Go. You guys have really spooled some songs out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was his initial idea to get a saxophone on there, and then we knew Terry, who played sax on it. He was in Tinder Sticks and Gallon Drunk and all that. But it was great working with Terry. I'd definitely do it again.
Outside of Feel the Love Go, the other song on this Franz Ferdinand record that really cuts a rug is Lazy Boy, because it's got this kind of boot-scooting guitar on it. So that feels like something kind of, unique to a Franz Ferdinand record as well.
Yeah, I mean, that came up quite early in the process. We're just mucking about with trying to write things in different time signatures, just because a lot of, like, Greek folk music, like Rebetika, which is Alex's, that's totally his thing, he's really into that, and lots of kind of old Ethiopian jazz records all written in these weird time signatures, but you don't necessarily notice that it's in a weird time signature. So we tried to make, like, a dance track, which sort of felt like dancing on a boat. Best way to put it, I think.
If you will, it's Franz Ferdinand's yacht rock song, then, if it's like dancing on a boat.
Yeah, I guess so. But it doesn't have the sonic tropes of yacht rock.
No, you've yet to move into your Christopher Cross phase, Paul.
Yeah, I'm not averse to some, Loggins and Messina, that kind of thing.
Maybe that could be the next rebirth of Franz Ferdinand when it happens.
Sure, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. For now, we might have a listen to a song off the record called Huck and Jim, since it's a song about going to America by a Scottish band. We'll play it on Australian radio.
Good choice. I mean, that was the last song we wrote, actually, for this record. We were still writing it when we were in the studio. I mean, it came out of a jam, really. The whole going to America thing, we just thought that the chorus sounded like kind of 90s, kind of indie slacker music, and the lyric that we were going to America was just kind of like a piss take. And then it's just like, okay, what would you do if you were going to America? So I'd probably tell them about universal healthcare.
But you know that chorus is going to go down a storm in America as well, right? You've toured there enough that people are going to be screaming at you.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of written as well because we knew that the first show that we were going to play with this new expanded lineup was going to be in America, in Alabama. So we were actually literally going to America, hence the lyric.
There's an element of truth as well. Well, look, make sure you come to Australia at some point again. We want to see you.
Yeah.
For now, we'll have a listen to Huck and Jim off Always Ascending. Thanks for the chat.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Sitting by the window, she's sitting by the door.